I'm going to make it plural today. We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We're so happy to have Reverend Craig Mueller, the director of the LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. His office is in St. Louis, and he happens to be in the Fort Wayne area, and he's able to come, and also his father is joining us today, Pastor Mueller, right here, too. So, Pastor Mueller, Craig Mueller's father, is also, he's a retired LCMS pastor, so he's joining us today as well. So, Pastor Director Mueller is going to have our sermon, and I've said it many times, but I'll say it again, he is the director of our program for military chaplains. He and his staff recruit pastors, active LCMS pastors, to become chaplains in one of the branches of our U.S. military. They also support, he and his staff support their work as chaplains. If they're having problems, especially with freedom of religion problems or things like that, they give him a call. He also offers training, twice a year training programs for our LCMS chaplains. They and their families, whatever branch they're in, they get permission from their commanders and they come to a training session like a pastor's symposium for chaplains, our LCMS chaplains, to help them with spiritual support and theological support. And I don't know if there's recruit support and what? And veterans.
Yes.
And what is this? Tell about the Barnabas Project. You told the Bible class.
A project called Operation Barnabas, named after the Apostle Barnabas, who's the son of encouragement. So it's an intentional way that we reach out to our veterans in our congregations, but also in the community. So it's kind of a grassroots congregational thing. Some do a lot of things. Some just maybe honor them on Veterans Day or 4th of July or whatever. But it's an intentional way of making sure our veterans are taken care of.
Right. And we'll talk about it with the kids when they come up, the children's message sometime, but you were a Navy chaplain, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And how many years were you a Navy chaplain?
28.
28 years as a Navy chaplain. And then now he works at the head office for Synod, helping all our other chaplains in the various branches. Okay. Yeah. We sing our first hymn. Oh, I asked Pastor Mueller, is there special hymns or Bible passages? So these Bible passages that we have for today are specially picked just to think about military chaplaincy and thanking God for the service of our military persons, and also thank God for our nation and living our faith in that. So he asked for hymns that had the theme church militant, which means church on earth. We're fighting, we're living for the faith. It's a term, the church militant. And so stand up for Jesus, and mighty fortress is our God, and some of these were especially picked to think about those things, and also the readings were picked for that too. So we sing our first hymn, 660, Stand Up for Jesus. You're invited to stand up if you would like.
Stand up for Jesus, these soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord. Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Stand forth in mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Let all his faithful serve him against unnumbered foes. Stand up, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. He dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where do strife will not be long. This day, the din of battle, the next, the victor's song. The soldiers overcoming their crown of life shall see, and we
page 219 is also written in the bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness,
enter not into judgment with your servant.
For no one living is righteous before you.
For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground.
He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead.
Therefore my spirit faints within me.
My heart within me is appalled.
I remember the days of old.
I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands.
I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails.
Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust.
Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
I have fled to you for refuge.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble.
And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies.
And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant.
Our first reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Are there any children that would like to come up for the children's message? Okay, so we have a guest preacher today, a guest pastor. And what his job is to find pastors, other Lutheran pastors like me. Well, I'm too old to do what he's looking for. But younger pastors to go and be chaplains to soldiers and to sailors and to Marines and Coast Guard. He goes around looking for pastors who would like to do that, to be Lutheran chaplains, okay? So I thought for our children's message today, we could listen to some of the things that he's done, okay? Because he's been a chaplain for a long time, too, before. So I'm going to ask him one or two or three questions, and then maybe if you have a question, you can think about it, too. Okay, so we heard before you were a Navy chaplain, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he was a Navy chaplain. And so that means sailors who are on boats, on ships. So, were you ever a chaplain on a ship?
Yes, I was.
What was that like a little bit?
It was pretty exciting. When I joined the Navy, I'd never flown in an airplane, never seen the ocean. And my first active duty was to Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And I had five ships for one chaplain. So, the most exciting thing probably was when we went underway, when we went at sea, left the port, I would actually take a helicopter and go from one ship to the next to do Bible studies, lead worship, or do counseling. And you know what they called the helicopter when I was on it? They called it the Holy Hilo.
Because it was carrying.
I was holy, but the pilots.
They felt good about carrying it.
Yeah, they always tried to make me have fun with me.
So he got to ride in helicopters as a chaplain to go from ship to ship because he was over five ships. Can you imagine that? Wow. So, were you ever a chaplain, say, like in an area where they had fighting?
Yes. So, Navy chaplains, we also serve the United States Marine Corps. And so, my last 10 years with the Navy on active duties with the Marines, so I did three combat tours with them. Two in Iraq, and then one kind of was like an interesting one in Haiti, but that's a different story. You can imagine. But, so I was a Marine Navy, but Marine chaplain.
Oh, okay. So what do you think? What do you have a question for? So a chaplain is like a pastor for the Marines or for the sailors. Do you have any questions that you might have about that? What do soldiers carry? What do they have to use a lot of times?
Cannon and guns.
Cannon and guns. And I have a question. So does a chaplain get to carry guns or cannons? What
no,
do you do?
We cannot carry any weapons. So we can only carry the Bible, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, right? We're going to talk about that. But no, I had Marines and a sailor assigned to me to be my bodyguard because I wasn't able to carry a weapon because I'm there to be there to take care of our Marines with the gospel of Jesus Christ and not to fight.
Yeah, so you had somebody particular to protect you. He had somebody to protect him, a Marine or a sailor to protect him on. See, another question I was going to ask. Did you have any sailors or Marines that had to be baptized?
Yes. In fact, we got to do that because we're deployed for a long time, and so you really get to know them. So 6 months or a year. The longest one was 13 months. So during that time, I would have young Marines who didn't know Jesus and eventually would come to my service, and we'd catechize, go to confirmation, right? And then they would want to be baptized. So we actually baptized them in the desert in Iraq, which is really where Babylon in the Old Testament was, right? Where Abraham started to and Ur. So it's very historic. Yeah, we were able to do baptisms.
So go and make disciples of all lands, even in Iraq, right? Even in Babylon, old Babylon, yeah.
And you know what?
What?
I know a sailor. My late grandma.
You're late?
My late grandma had two sailboats.
Oh, she had sailboats. Your late grandma.
In the
sailboat,
right?
Uh-huh. And then I had one more question too. So now you're wearing a regular pastor's alb. So, but when you were, how did you dress as a chaplain on your everyday work with the sailors or Marines? How did they know you were a chaplain?
It's mostly because we wore their uniform, because obviously we're in a combat area, we don't want to stand out, you try to blend in camouflage, right? So, but we would wear a cross on our collar. So when a Marine would see me, they would say, oh, you're my chaplain. Hopefully we get to know each other anyway, it's like a small town, you get to know everybody. But for those that didn't, say, oh, he's a chaplain. And then when I did worship service, sometimes I would just put a stole on in a uniform, depending on if we were out in the desert in the middle of nowhere, or if we were at a little chapel, then I would wear, you know, pastor clothes, the robes, right? So Basically it was just the cross and no weapon.
Cross and no weapon. Okay. Do you have any other questions? I just wanted you to hear some of these special questions. I wanted you to hear too. He have interesting stories. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for our soldiers and Marines and sailors, who take care of us and protect us. And thank you for our chaplains, who are their pastors. Please protect them all. And we ask you to bless my family. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up, kids. Thanks for coming. We sing the sermon hymn.
Almighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now or taken. The judged the
take they our life. God's fame, child and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, and I bring you greetings from our chaplains and their families stationed all over the world in every clime and place as they serve our Lord, bringing word and sacrament ministry to those who selflessly serve our nation. And a shout out to you veterans here, and of course, Mother's Day. It's a big day because, as you know, even in the military, there's a lot of mothers worried about their sons or daughters serving overseas. So it all comes together. And the text for today is Ephesians 6, and I'm gracious for Pastor to allow me to free text it today because this is the theme verse for our ministry to the armed forces. I guess you could probably understand why. But I want to make a clear point that this really applies to all Christians. As Pastor mentioned, we're talking about the church militant. We are at war every day with the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. It's an ongoing battle for our soul. And every one of you has been drafted into the Lord's army. When you were baptized, the Lord reached down into the muck and mire of your sinfulness and made you his child, called you by name, and once you had his name on you, you had a target on your back by the devil, Satan, because now he has someone that he has to seek and destroy throughout your life to do everything in his power to get you to abandon your Lord Jesus Christ, to get you to abandon your faith, and to fall into hopelessness and helplessness. My friends, that's what we do. And now working with those who are called to profession of arms, one of the big things that we learn is that you've got to know your enemy. What drives him? What are the tactics that your enemy uses? What is his center of gravity, is the military term. And this enemy, the devil, has one mission, and that is to get you into hell with him by whatever means is necessary. Hear these words again from our text. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, for that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's your enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We are at war. Being prepared is always on the minds of our men and women serving so faithfully in our armed forces. There's not a day that goes by that they're not ready or training to be more ready. They have to be ready at a moment's notice to answer the call, because once the alarm sounds, they don't have time to get ready. They have to be ready and answer the bell. And to be ready, they train, train, and train some more. They train as they would fight. Our military leaders do a pretty good job in ensuring our personnel are ready for combat. Our leadership works hard to get them physically and mentally prepared to make a defense for our country and know how by the grace of God, that they are supporting their own to the importance of the spiritual readiness, spiritual fitnesses. Even our commanders understand that it's important, and thanks be to God, because that gives us an opportunity to bring the gospel as they get ready physically, emotionally, and yes, spiritually. The Navy SEAL motto is, "The only easy day was yesterday." Seems pretty simple, but maybe that's how you feel in your vocation. The only easy day was yesterday. It's always going to get harder. And Abraham Lincoln once said, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Preparation and being ready are critical in any planning, but especially in planning a defense. So it's important to be reminded that we truly are living in a church militant. We are present in a world where we are at war with the devil, the world, in our sinful flesh. So I ask you the question this morning, are you ready? Are you ready for the battles and sufferings that you will face every day? What is your plan to sustain you on the battlefield of life, temptation and suffering? How will you endure? What is your hope and confidence as you go into battle and suffering against the devil, the world, and your own flesh? Because we can't kid ourselves. We do live in a sin-sick world, surrounded by evil. In America, we may not yet be hauled out of our churches or homes or businesses by evil men, put on our knees in the city square with a gun or sword at our head where they say, renounce Jesus or die. Yet we know in other parts of the world that is happening today. Christians are being executed and martyred simply for their faith in Jesus. Yet here in our country, people are losing their jobs, their positions, their livelihoods, for giving a defense of the faith and speaking out against issues that go contrary to the Word of God. We are being told to keep your religion in the church, in this building, or in your home, but don't you dare bring it out to the public square. Oh yes, they say, you have freedom to worship, but don't bring it into the public. Don't exercise your religion. Hang your personal faith at the door on the way out of your house or church, and don't bring it here. And how often have we given in and stood by quietly in a discussion in the public square about cultural issues and didn't speak out when God was being mocked or ridiculed or his law violated? We took our eyes off Jesus and began to look around at the winds and rough seas of the world. We are too afraid to speak in the public square to bring the truth of God's word and the gospel to bear. Did we remain silent simply because we didn't want to be labeled a bigot, judgmental, narrow-minded, or a proponent of hate speech, or dare we say, be canceled? We don't want to suffer for what we believe. Everyone wants to be liked and accepted. It's not easy to stand strong in the Lord. Now you may be saying, come on, chaplain, I'm in the middle of a war right now with an illness, a disease, a broken relationship, guilt or depression, addiction. I know what war looks like spiritually as well as physically. I've tried everything I can to fight, to win, yet the pain continues, and I am stricken, smitten, and afflicted. My friends, that is where God in our text points us to where we find our fortress, our help, our comfort, our armor. It is not within ourselves. We can't stand and fight alone. We need Jesus and his armor. We don't stand a chance against the enemy, the devil, without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the devil will find a chink in our armor and bring us to despair and hopelessness. You know, even in physical war, we can give the troops the best equipment possible to protect them, buy them the best personal armor, up-armor their vehicles. Yet day after day, we see our troops killed in combat despite the heavy armor they are wearing. Many are killed by shrapnel or bullets despite all their training, all their combat gear, all their armor. The enemy found a chink in the armor. My friends, the devil will do the same to you. He knows the chink in your armor. He knows your weaknesses. He will attack and attack and attack where you are most vulnerable. Because remember, the ultimate goal of our enemy, the devil, and his evil schemes is to get you to hell with him, away from the cross of Christ. He wants you to doubt the promises and the word of God. He wants you to lose all hope in Jesus and fall into hopelessness and despair. Look around and we see so many examples of his small victories, suicides, murder, civil unrest, war. The ultimate goal through all that sin and chaos is to get us to be separated from our Lord Jesus forever. Thus, when we turn to our text for today, we find that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has prepared the armor we need to fight in this daily church warfare. But as we saw, the armor is not yours. It's not your pastor's. It's not anybody else's. It's God's armor. We see the comfort and absolute power of this passage of the Word of God. Listen to these words again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, not just parts of it, all of it. Why? So when the devil tries to tell you that you're not good enough to be a child of God, or you're too evil for God to love or die for, that Jesus couldn't have paid for your sins, your guilt, your evilness, you may be able to stand your ground and say, "Get behind me, Satan. I am a child of God," because God gives you His armor, His Holy Spirit to fight. And the first piece of gear that He gives us that we're going to talk about is the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's what keeps us centered in any kind of combat soldier gear. That belt that holds all that gear together is crucial. It's important that Paul uses this military language in this text. The belt that holds it all together is truth. And that's an interesting topic today, isn't it? How often do we hear in the news and social media circles, there is no truth, there is no absolute. What is truth? Even after Pontius Pilate made that great claim, right? You have your truth, pastor has his truth, I have my truth, it's all fluid. Well, we know that it's not true. We know what truth is. Jesus Himself said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior who cannot lie. He who cannot lie has promised you eternal life. We live in a world where there seems to be no truth. And it started in the beginning in the Genesis with the fall, where the devil said, "Did God really say?" Getting you to doubt. But we don't doubt the words of our Lord, because God, as our text clearly says, who cannot lie, has promised you eternal life. He has sent Jesus to live, to suffer, to die, to rise again for you. That's the promise you have. That's the truth of your armor that holds everything together. You know the truth, the way, and the life. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness. We who are dead in our sins and soiled by evil, God makes that great exchange. In other places in Scripture, we hear about the robe of righteousness, where Christ takes our sinfulness and gives us the robe of righteousness. But here, Paul, being consistent with his military language, says the breastplate of righteousness. And again, at our baptism, God made that great exchange, took your sinfulness and put on you the righteousness of Him. He imputes, He gives it to you. You are now declared not guilty. He gives you life, forgiveness, and salvation. So no matter what accusations the devil throws your way, or how bad you are, or how good you think you are, your righteousness is as filthy rags. But you have Christ's breastplate of righteousness that can't be penetrated by your devil, by the devil, your horrible enemy who wants to destroy you. Yes, you could now say that God literally looks at you with cross vision. He looks at you through the cross of Christ and sees a righteous saint of God, purchased and won by Jesus Christ. And that breastplate of righteousness is given to you as your daily armor against the lies of the devil. And then you have the shield of faith. When the Holy Spirit created faith in your hearts to cling to that truth of His promises, clings to His word of forgiveness, hope, and healing. Jesus said you can have faith like a mustard seed and move mountains. This is a faith that clings to the cross and puts out the flaming arrows that the devil shoots at us and throws our way. The Holy Spirit who is given to you at your baptism continues to strengthen that faith through His holy word. Through the Lord's Supper, we'll receive His body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. What a great piece of armor God gives us, the shield of faith. And then we have the helmet of salvation. By the grace of God, for Christ's sake, through faith, we are saved. I think it is simply summed up by putting on that helmet is the knowledge of God that we know the end of the story. We know that we are saved, that no matter what happens, we know how it will end, that we will be in heaven with Jesus no matter what trials and tribulations come our way in this earthly life, the sadnesses, the challenges. We always know that we are saved by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is a two-edged sword that beats back the devil and his lies. Jesus himself used this in his own temptation against the devil, telling the devil that this is what God says in his word. This is the offensive weapon that God gives us. We sang it in the hymn of A Mighty Fortress, where Luther so boldly proclaims, one little word can fell him. There will be those who continue to doubt the word of God, but not us. We know that the word of God is the sword of spirit, and how precious is the collect of the word. Listen to these words that remind us of the importance of this spiritual armor. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, as the King James, but the new one says, take them to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God. My dear friends, read it, mark it, learn it, inwardly digest it, in the morning when you get up, during your day, in the evening before you go to bed. It's a powerful piece of gear that God gives you in your daily struggles and battles against your enemy, the devil. And finally, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Oftentimes, this one is overlooked. Maybe even you don't remember it much in your Sunday school lessons with the Roman soldier and the armor of God. But as any foot soldier, any grunt marine will tell you, it does matter what you have on your feet. You must take care of your feet. So this piece of gear that Paul talks about is important to the Roman soldier. In fact, they used to have spikes on their sandals to help them. Because listen through that text how many times he tells you to hold the ground, stand firm, stand strong in the Lord. It's still boots on the ground, battle that must be done. Even today, we talk about air wars, but it still talks about boots on the ground. It's so important when Paul uses this and what he says this weapon is. It's feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The Lord is reminding us that because of all that we have just heard and believe, we know that we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and now we're ready to move out. We are ready because we have the gospel of peace. What a powerful message from our Lord. This is the peace which passes all understanding. It is the peace of God that knowing that we are forgiven, that we are saved, that we are redeemed children of God. The peace that gives us the strength to continue in this veil of tears, in this church militant, this present warfare, because we know the end of the line. We know that we are forgiven children of God, and that God who loves us will never leave us nor forsake us. The peace that comes from knowing that all things work out for the good and according to his purpose. The peace that comes that even though while we will continue to feel pain, and you will feel pain, many of you are already in pain, feel sadness, struggle with your own pet sins, pain in your relationships, pain in illness and disease, loneliness in the loss of a loved one. Yet in all that, we stand firm, trusting in our Lord Jesus, trusting that even as we live in this sin-sick world and all that comes with it, heaven is our home. Our Jesus has defeated our enemy and given us the armor we need to endure until our end comes or Jesus returns again on that last day. In the meantime, in this church militant, as drafted in the army of God, we move out and share that great peace and gospel with our neighbors. So again, I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for war and suffering? Are you ready to face the temptations that will befall you? Are you ready to be persecuted for your faith, to be face pain that may come your way in a disease, an illness, a relationship lost? Are you ready to stand firm in Christ against all odds? Yes. Yes, you are ready, because God has made you ready in Jesus. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We sing the hymn, Rise to Arms, with prayer implore you. You're invited to stand during the singing of it.
Rise to arms with prayer implore you. O Christians, lest the foe destroy you. For Satan has designed your fall. Wield God's word, the weapon glorious. Against all foes be thus victorious. For God protects you from them all. Fear not the hordes of hell. Savior, the strong falls yield to Christ our shield, and we the victors hold the field. Cast off fire this world's vain strive for heavenly treasure. Be steadfast in the Savior's might. Trust the Lord who stands beside you. For Jesus from all harm will hide you. By faith you conquer in the fight. Take courage, weary soul. Look forward to the goal. Joy awaits you. The race will run. Your long war won. Your crown shines splendid as the sun. Wisely fight, for time is fleeting. The hours of grace are fast retreating. Short is this our earthly way. When the Lord the dead will waken, and sinners all by fear are shaken, the saints with joy will greet that day. Praise God, our triumph's sure. We need not long endure scorn and trial. Our Savior King, His own will bring to that great glory which we sing.
We pray together the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ministers of the church and our chaplains, that they would be sent to proclaim God's name. Just as the Father sent his Son, and the Son sent his apostles, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our LCMS chaplains serving in our U.S. military, that our Lord Jesus would give them faithfulness to both his gospel and to their military duties, that with love, clarity of mind, endurance, and strength, they and their families would be a blessing to all who serve in our armed forces. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all God's children who are hated by the world because they are not of the world, that they hold fast to his sure word, so not one of them would be lost, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and judges, that the Lord would teach them the testimony of the truth and make them wise and effective in their offices, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick and in distress, we remember Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue, Steve Hurst, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Dave, Randy, Chelsea, Joe, Tim, Norma, Todd, Zachary, Sandy, Pat, Justin, Pastor Scott Johnson and family, and for the family of Sue Hurst, that holding the Son of God in faithful hearts, they may have eternal life and an answer for all their prayers, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who offer these petitions, that they would be one, just as the Father and Son are one, and that they would be sanctified in the truth of God's word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, your Son, in his incarnation, took on our human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to his mother, honoring and obeying her, so fulfilling the commandment where we have not.
On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers, whom you have given to us. Teach us to honor them aright, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them, as is fitting in your sight. Strengthen all women with child, and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in you and your unfailing love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen. Amen.
Again, the closing hymn is 922, number 922. Father, we praise thee. Two things. Godspeed on your travels to Minnesota. Director, chaplain, Pastor Mueller is also going with his father, Pastor Mueller, traveling to Minnesota. He presents in front of all the Lutheran LCMS pastors in Minnesota at a joint state meeting tomorrow. So God's blessings on that. May the Lord bless you with recruits for chaplains. May that happen. We sing him, Go, My Children.
Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Here you learned how much I love you, what I can cure. Here you hear my dear son's story. Here you touched him, saw his glory. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Go, my children, fed and nourished, closer to me. Grow in love and love by serving, joyful and free. Spirit's power filled you. Hear his tender comfort stilled you. Go, my children, fed and nourished, joyful and free. I, the Lord, will bless and keep you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will smile upon you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will be your Father, Savior, Comforter, and Brother. Go, my children, I will keep you and give you